Welcome to Citra, the hiding place, an outreach meeting of the New and Living Way Church Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, we thank you for this time in your presence in Citra. Thank you for the grace upon this house that flows down from your Son, our Lord Jesus, that flows down from your servant, Reverend Kao Deogoke, our daddy, that flows down from our daddy also, Daddy Emeka Egochukwu, that flows onto us through our daddy here in the house, Pastor Laide Olaniyo. Lord, we pray that there will be a manifestation of that grace to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I humble myself under this work, under this commission. I say that I'm a servant of your servant, Pastor Laide Olaniyo and Mommy Rose Olaniyo, and I pray that you grant me grace to serve them in the name of the Lord Jesus, that I will serve them and I will be a blessing to my brethren that are here in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the angel that is here with us. Lord, we ask that the ministry of this angel will find expression. Lord, we ask you for utterance, we ask you for entrance, we ask you for skill, we ask you for understanding. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Can we say amen? Amen. Now,
we open a way of escape. We open a way of escape. For salvation is escape. Salvation is escape. For salvation is escape. Even escape evil from the bondage that this world has caged men into. Yeah, this world is a cage. Is a cage. Is a cage. Is a cage. And salvation is the eyes that have been given to escape this world. It has been given even the eyes to escape this world. For I want to deliver many from the bondage of this world. Bondage of this world. Yeah, hopefully the secret even of this world. Of this present world that is passing away, that is passing away, for many need to escape it and not perish even with this present world, even with this present world. Salvation is my true, even for escaping, even for this present world. For many will escape today, many will escape today, many will escape the bondage of this world, many will escape the bondage of this world. For many, we see the way out of this world, we see the way out of this world, and to call the world to come, which is the real world of ordained for man, even the world of ordained for man. For I want to save many, for I want to save many, I want many to escape, I want many to escape, I want to deliver many. For God is mighty to save, is mighty to save. The mighty hand of the Lord is over this meeting today, for to cause salvation, for to cause salvation. I am Savior. Jesus, Savior, Savior Jesus. Amen. And I'm here to do an operational work for to save many. Jesus was sent to save his people. Yes, and the hand of Jesus is over this meeting today for to save you. Mm. Yeah, cut out a portion of this world from your soul.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
So can we say salvation?
Salvation.
Can we scream salvation? We are not screaming, but can we scream salvation?
Salvation!
So like Pastor Mike Ogunye, our good pastor, we say, He said the most commonly used words in Christianity are the least understood words. And one major one is the issue of what? God says salvation. So, Bible says that receiving the end of our faith, even what? The salvation of our souls. The Hebrews chapter 2 says that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should what? Let them slip. And that says, how shall we what? Escape if what? Neglect what? So great salvation. So how shall we escape if we neglect what? So great salvation. The another scripture in Proverbs says that the name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. Who runs into it? The righteous runs into it, and their word, they are safe. So I like that word, the righteous. It's not the unbeliever that runs. So it's the righteous that runs into what? Salvation. Which is the race that is what? That is set before us. So, I am the righteousness of God, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, is an opportunity to what? To run. So, an unbeliever cannot run into this name. It is the righteous that runs into this name, and they are what? They are safe. So, receiving the end of our faith, which is what? The salvation of our soul. Then that says, how shall we escape if we what? Neglect. Can we say neglect? What? So great salvation. Now, when reading the epistle, sometimes you must understand the audience that the apostle was writing to. He was not just writing to any our Christians. He was writing to holy brethren, partaker of what? The heavenly calling. So he was not talking to new Christians. He was not talking to people that are just in the arena of the milk of the world. He was talking to people who had finished the seasons of Christ's message. And he was telling them that, how shall we escape if we what? Neglect what? So great what? Salvation. Which was first spoken by the Lord. This message of salvation was first what? Spoken. Can we say what? First spoken. Can we say what? First spoken. What? By the Lord. So when we say salvation of the soul message, when we say God wants to save your soul message, it is not first of all NLWC's message. It's not first of all the message of our daddy Reverend Kyle Diegoke. Is the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was first? So it's clear that all the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ was about what? Salvation. One I can say right now, it says, come unto me all ye that labor and what? And are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. And that says, take what? My yoke upon you, and you shall find what? Rest for your soul. So it's clear that there are two rests in that scripture. There is an initial rest that you experience by just coming. Then there is another rest that you experience when you take his yoke upon him. And that says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Is light. So when we say rest, rest is also what? Salvation. Can we say salvation? So our Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on earth, spoke salvation in several parables. Spoke salvation by many illustrations. Then I like Matthew chapter 1. Can we quickly open Matthew chapter 1? Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. He said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt what? Call his name Jesus. For what? He shall save his people from what? From their sins. So the name Jesus is Jehovah, is our salvation. But the angel Gabriel explained it well, that he shall save his people from what? From their sins. So the work of our Lord Jesus Christ is a twofold work. It's first of all to get his people. Then when he gets his people, it will now save them from what? Their sins. So when Jesus came on earth, he didn't have any people. Forget that. He didn't have what? Any people. Even the Jews were not his people. Because he told them, you are of your father who? The devil. So Jesus our Lord died and resurrected first of all to have a people. I'm not supposed to get that. He died and resurrected to what? To have a people. So as a man, if I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, my spirit is quickened, my soul is purchased. Then I can say in a sense, I am his person. Then when I am his person, it will now begin the work of saving me. Come say saving me. From what? My sins. So when our Lord Jesus Christ died and resurrected, Bible says that he obtained a more excellent ministry. Can we say a more? What? Excellent ministry. Mean that what Jesus our Lord is doing now is more excellent than the cross. And forget that. So the cross is just a paving of the way to have a people so that he can now perform upon their hearts, upon their mind, upon their soul, a more excellent ministry. So right now, I can tell you, my brethren, that it is after his resurrection that our Lord Jesus Christ began to operate that name called Jesus. That name Jesus can do many things. In that name, we can cast out devils. In that name, we can speak in new tongues. In that name, if we drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt us. In that name, we can pick up serpent and scorpion. In that name, we can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. But what that name is for, gone, is that he wants to save. Come say, he wants to save. His people, what? From their sins. So that is the ministry, the more excellent ministry, and that is the reason for the New Testament, saving people from their sins. Can we say saving people? Can we say saving people from what? From their sins. And it's clear in scripture. He said, if we say we have no sin, first of all, he said, we make him a liar. So when you say you have no sin as a believer, you're not just lying. You are also making God what? A liar. Because God ordained his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as the high priest of good things to come. Why? To save his people. Can we say to save his people? Can we say to save his people? From what? From their sins. So I got born again to be saved. Can we say I got born again to be what? To be saved. Though I will not deny the fact that being born again is a salvation experience. But it is not salvation to the uttermost. So I can be saved, but I am not yet saved to what? To the uttermost. Can we say amen? Amen. Can we say amen? Amen. How many of us are following me this afternoon? Please. Praise God. So Jesus Christ our Lord is raised an high priest of good things to come to save us from what? Our sins. Can we say our sins? Can we say our sins? So there's an aspect of salvation that God wants to, because when, I don't know, the brother led prayer, what's his name? Brother Emmanuel, he used two words that I would like to explain today. So there's an aspect of salvation that involves God saving us from our sins. But I want us also to know that when we say salvation, can we say salvation? Salvation is not an afterthought. Salvation is not what? An afterthought. Really, truly, really, truly, really, God is not saving our soul because we fell into sin. Salvation is an original thing that existed without what? Without sin. Now let me show us that from scripture. Come up over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse, let's start from verse 3. It's a prophecy about John the Baptist. It says, "The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be what? Made low, and every crooked path shall be what? Made straight, and the rough places what? Plain." Counting verse 5 together, 1, 2, go. "And the glory of God shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Can you say the glory of God shall be what? Shall be revealed. Now, this is a prophecy about John the Baptist. And we need to know who John the Baptist is. Bible says, "Of all men born of women, none is greater than what? John the Baptist." So though John the Baptist was bearded, Enoch walked with God and he was taken, Jesus, the real person, Gongo, said that John is higher than Enoch. John is higher than Elijah that went to heaven with wild wind and chariot of fire. John is higher than Noah, higher than Methuselah. The only person that is not higher than, that John is not higher than, is who? Is Adam. In the old order. Why? Because Adam was not born of a woman. So of all men born of woman, none is what? Greater than what? John the Baptist. At his naming ceremony, his father prophesied, "Thou shalt be called the prophet of the highest." Mean that you'll be the highest prophet that will ever exist before the administration of the New Testament. So this Isaiah chapter 40 is talking about John the Baptist. Now let's read Luke chapter 3, where John was talking about what Isaiah said about himself. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 from verse 4. "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and what? The crooked shall be what? Made straight, and the rough ways shall be made what? Smooth." Now can we read verses where I want to go? "And all flesh shall see what? The salvation of God." So look at this. Isaiah said what? Glory. John the Baptist now rendered it in understanding. He called it what? Salvation. So when God will say, when God tells him, "I want to give you glory," what God is saying is, "I want to give you what? Salvation." So that's why when they want to define a glorious church in the Bible, epistles, it's a church without spots. So a glorious church is not an influential church. A glorious church is not a rich church. A glorious church is not a popular church. A glorious church is not the church where the president come and do thanksgiving for his birthday. A glorious church is a church without spots, without wrinkle, without blemish or what? Any such thing. So glory is what? Salvation. Come say glory.
Glory
is what? Salvation. Now I'm showing us this to show that salvation does not exist because of sin. Salvation, God wants to give you salvation before we sinned. So look at this. The Bible now says, for all have sinned and what? Come short of what? The glory of God. So, how did we sin and come short of the glory of God? It's not the lie that you told yesterday that made you come short. What made you come short was what Adam did. What you now did made you come shorter. How many of us get that? So, that's why Jesus, the preaching of Jesus wants to help you. It's not for good people or bad people. It's for anybody that came out from Adam. Because just, so if I'm a man and I'm born on earth, and I died at age 90 without doing anything wrong, I still need Jesus. Why? I came from Adam. What Adam did made me what? Come short. So for all have sinned and what? Come short of what? The glory of God. So look at this. It's clear that man was on his way to glory. Then sin made him what? Come short. So we can say, for all have sinned and come short of what? The salvation. So man was on his way to salvation before sin. And forget that. Man was on his way to what? Salvation. Before sin what? Came on board. So God is not saving our soul because of sin. God has wanted to save our soul before sin came. Though we can call the process of God making us free from sin salvation, but salvation is more than that. So our pastor, Pastor Emmanuel, while leading prayer, used two words. He used the word redemption and he used the word salvation. So this is it. The process of delivering us from sin is called redemption. Then when we are fully redeemed, then God will now give us the original thing that Adam was journeying to. How many of us get that? So, with or without sin, that the Adam was on his way towards salvation. So, imagine that the Adam, I'm bouncing to salvation. Then something now came and raked me down. So, the process of healing my bruised heel, because I was raked down, you can call it salvation. But after you healed my bruised heel, I have not received what they wanted to give me. How many of us get that? So right now in the New Testament, after they heal me from my iniquities, they will now give me what? The original thing. How many of us get that? So it's clear that salvation is two things. It's a process and it's a destination. So the process is God deleting sins from us, which we can call, can we say redemption?
Redemption.
Can we say redemption?
Redemption?
Then a redeemed man will receive what? Salvation. How many of us get that? So salvation is not an afterthought. So, right now, by grace of God, we've seen salvation in two stages. Number one, there is sin in man. Can we say there is sin in man? Can we say there is sin in man? But we are now realizing that even before sin came to man, God wanted to save man. Why? How do I know God wanted to save man? God wanted to give man his glory. How do I know God wants to give man his glory? Bible says that let us make man what? In our image. After what? Our likeness. And there is no way you become express image of his person that you will not have brightness of his glory. And let's get that. There is no way you have what? Express image of his person that you will not have what? Brightness of his glory. So that the Adam was on his way to salvation. That the Adam was on his way to what? Salvation. Then sin made him what? Come short. Sin made him what? Come short. I'm not supposed to get that. So let's look at scripture to prove that. Come up to Ephesians chapter 1. Can we say amen? How many of us have been blessed today? Praise God. But before the Ephesians chapter 1, can we quote together Ephesians chapter 1 verse 41 to go? Are they not all what? Hebrews, not Ephesians, sorry. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. 1 to go. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Can we say heirs? Now when they say you are heirs, an heir of a thing, it means that you are eligible for that thing, but you don't have it yet. Like for a long time, Prince Charles was the heir apparent of the throne of Great Britain. He was what? An heir. But right now, he's not an heir. He's now what? A king. But in God's kingdom, the king does not need to die before he becomes a king. And first get that. In God's kingdom, the king does not need to what? To die. Instead, this king is a king of kings. And first get that. So when you say you are an heir, it means that you are eligible. But you've not what? Received it. So it's clear that in the scripture, we are heirs of what? Salvation. Meaning that we are eligible for salvation, but we have not what? Received it. So what is the inheritance of every believer? Salvation. Can we say salvation? Salvation. I said that quickly so that we can read Ephesians. Can we read Ephesians from chapter 1 from verse 7. From verse 7. Now, this our Lord Jesus Christ. In whom we have what? In whom we have what? Redemption. What? Through his blood. The what? Forgiveness of sins. According to what? The riches of his grace. Now, let's explain this a bit. In whom we have what? Redemption. Now, if you want to use English language to read this, you can feel the redemption is with you already. But you have to back down to verse 14 that says, until the redemption. And first get that. So verse 7 says, in whom we have what? Redemption. But you need to explain the sense of in whom we have. So when we now read verse 14 that says, until what? The redemption. It's clear that the redemption is not yet in your hand. But in Jesus, for every believer, is what? Redemption. So in whom we have redemption through his blood, the what? Forgiveness of sins according to what? The riches of his grace. So this redemption is the forgiveness of our sins. Now, when we say forgiveness of sins in New Testament, I'm sure we must have been taught this in Citra. In New Testament, there are two stages to forgiveness of sin. There is forgiveness that is pardon, and there is forgiveness that is remission. Can we say forgiveness that is pardon? And can we say forgiveness that is what? Remission. Now, on the day a man is to get born again, what he confesses is not his sins. What he confesses is the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Now that instruction, confess your fault one to another, is not for unbelievers, it's for believers. Can we say amen?
Amen.
If God had inched the new birth at confessing your sin, nobody will get born again. Shall I show you why? If you meet a man that is 48 years old and then you get born again, confess your sin. If he has retentive memory, the best he will do is that he will mention the sins of the last 2 weeks. Because how can he be recording his sin from age 2? That he bites his mommy. That he slaps his hand because the auntie delayed the milk. So God cannot inch forgiveness of sins. God cannot inch the new birth on you confessing your sin. Because even if you have retentive, maybe at age 75, a man wants to get born again, and he has retentive memory, he can recollect everything he has done from age 2 to 75. How about things that are sins, but he does not have light to know that it's a sin? So you see that God cannot inch the new birth on confessing your sin. God inch the new birth on confessing who? The Lord Jesus. And because I confess the Lord Jesus, everything I did before I got born again is forgiven. I receive pardon from it. But after I get born again, anything I do, I must what? Confess it. Now when I confess it, I receive what? Pardon. But remission is different from pardon. Remission is, I'm the first, if any brothers, sisters may not have this kind of thing. God, if I do this again, kill me. I'm the first I've said that. Lord, if I do this again, call me a bastard. That telling God to sin, call you a bastard. God, if I do it again, may no better for me. May thunder strike me. And you are not trying to form for God. You are serious that God should take your life. But I said, God will not be doing emu. Because God knows you will do it again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Why? The engine of those actions is still inside you. So remission of sin is beyond pardon. It's what is making you to do what you need pardon for. God removes it. That's what remission of sin. That's redemption. That's what redemption. So in Jesus, everything that we need for redemption, we have it. We what? We have it. But we have not what? Received it. So let's go back there, sir. In whom we have redemption. How many of us have been blessed this afternoon? Anything I did not say, well, that will clear it in tomorrow's message. Can we say amen? Amen. In whom we have what? Redemption. Through what? His blood. The what? Forgiveness of sins. According to what? The riches of his grace. The next one. Next verse, please. Wherein he has what? Abounded towards us in all what? Wisdom. So you need wisdom to experience redemption. Of whom are we in Christ Jesus? Who is made unto us what? Redemption. Made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and what? Redemption. So it is, you know, some people will say, I am the wisdom of God. No. It's Jesus that is made to us. You are not made. And forget that. It was Jesus that was made to us what? Wisdom. So redemption is the way he had abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence. Next verse. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to what? His good pleasure, which he had what? Purposed in himself. Next one, sir. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Then look at verse 11. In whom also, can we say also? When you say also, it means another thing. Abi? That's a literal meaning of also, abi? In whom what? Also we have obtained what? An inheritance. So there are two things in Jesus for a believer. Redemption and what? Inheritance. And what is inheritance? Salvation. Because we are heirs of what? Salvation. How many of us see that? So in Jesus for a believer, there are two things for you. There is redemption. Then after we come into redemption, we now have what? Inheritance. Quickly, they will come back here. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. That's the hope I'm trying, sir. Amen. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. It says, to open their eyes. And how do you open eyes? Spirit of what? Wisdom. So you see? To open their eyes and to what? Turn them from darkness to light. From what? The power of Satan unto God, that what? They may receive remission of sins and what? Inheritance. Or I can read this way in the context of our teaching, that they may receive redemption and what? inherit and salvation. Thank you. So open my eyes, turn me from darkness to light. Like almost if you're a member of this church, your eyes has been opened. Whether you like them, whether you not like them. In this church, there's so much power that one service can open your eyes. Where the issue is turning. Because when you open your eyes, you are still facing darkness. So they didn't open your eyes in the light. Oh, forget that. They opened your eyes in what? In dark. You are the one that will now what? Turn. That turning has many obediences. Sometimes that turning may be like your best friend from primary one. You put a bit care for what? Primary one. Primary 1A together. Primary 2A together. Primary 3, move to primary 3C. He follow you to primary 3C. The same university, the same room, the same this, the same this, the same this, the same NYC, the same place they posted you without walking it. You are my best friend. Best friend forever. BFF. Bestie. But you now encountered an understanding that told you that nothing on earth should be the reason why you are living. And the guy no agree. You don't see him. The guy, he eye open, close and back. And you guys have been together. In short, you have promised each other you'll be my best man when you are marrying. In short, both of us, let's make sure we marry from the same village. In short, let's look for twins so that our wives will be sisters. In short, both of us will rent house. I'll be upstairs, you'll be downstairs. You have planned how you will live together. If you want jackpot, tell me, I'll go follow you. Then, all of a sudden, you hear the gospel. And the guy does not like the gospel. And part of your turning from darkness is that this guy... Now, obviously, it's not every friend you throw away. Here you get. So I'm not saying go and throw away all your old friends. But this friend is anti what you are hearing. That's when a friend becomes dangerous. Not all friends are dangerous. Amen? Amen. Not all friends are what? Dangerous. But it's a dangerous friend. As it means, it's a friend that he came to Korodu Church. What they are saying does not agree with it, but it's not fighting you with it. That friend is okay. But this one, he vowed that as I don't like this, you must not like him. Then you need to guard your heart with what? All diligence. So sometimes it can be difficult to turn from that friend. So you are born again. Your eye open in darkness. And the demand of turning is that you have to tell this friend, bye-bye. Then you go back. You're moving like simple pendulum. Until you now decide that go, I turn. There is when you now turn that redemption begins to what? Happen. So redemption did not happen the day your eye opened. Redemption starts when you what? You turn. So the turning is not with the redemption. The turning is you making yourself available for God to what? To redeem you. I'm the first to get that. So what am I saying? We can increase our skill. We can call redemption salvation. But after you have been redeemed, you inherit what? Salvation. But for someone like Daddy Adam, he didn't need the redemption. Why? He did not have what? Sin. He was just going straight to what? Salvation. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. How many of us are being blessed today? He said, in whom what? Also we have what? Obtained what? An inheritance. So in him we have redemption. But in him also we've obtained what? An inheritance. Being what? Predestined according to the purpose. Where's Pastor Ni? I saw him when you enter. Welcome, Pastor Ni. Can you clap for Pastor Ni? I don't know where he is. Okay, at the back. Our pastor, you're welcome, sir. Amen. Holy Spirit said I should greet you. So I will greet you. Amen. It's part of my turning. Amen. Praise God. He said, in whom also we have obtained what? An inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who what? Worketh what? All things. Afterwards, the counsel of his will. verse 12. That we should be towards the praise of his glory, who was first trusted in Christ. This is our new birth experience. We trusted in Christ, in whom also after that, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed. With what? That Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Verse 14 now. Which is what? The earnest of what? Our inheritance. What? Until. So we have not been redeemed. We have not been what? So until what? The redemption. But God is faithful. Without being redeemed, he gave us earnest of the inheritance. To show us that he's serious about the inheritance. He gave us what? Down payment of the inheritance until what? The redemption of what? The purchased possession unto what? The praise of what? His glory. So can we say God wants to redeem me? Can we say it very well? God wants to redeem me. And God wants to save me. Or God wants to redeem me. And God wants to give me inheritance. So what is our inheritance as believers? Salvation. So what is the core salvation of the soul? Now inheritance. So when someone tells you, I don't believe in the salvation of the soul, what is that person saying? I don't want my inheritance. So what we have been called to inherit in the New Testament economy is what? Is salvation. Who is Reverend Kyle Diegoke? A teacher of inheritance. He's not just a teacher of inheritance, he's a distributor of what? Inheritance. So, but for us to inherit, we have to first of all what? Be redeemed. But people like Daddy Adam, he did not need redemption. Why? He was an holy man. Can't say an holy man. Can we say an holy man? Can we say an holy man? He was holy, but he was not perfect. He was holy, but he was not incorruptible. Can we say amen? Now, one example I used recently to describe this is, I remember when I got married in 2019, so we didn't buy fridge immediately. We had to wait for Black Friday on Jumia to buy our fridge. Don't laugh at me. You have not married. Don't know your own will be. You are laughing at me. No problem. God, angel, you see him, he laugh. You have not married. As you have married, you are appointed to laugh. You are still single. You are laughing at me. Oh, happy to you. That come and ask me for mercy after the service. It's only me that can show you the mercy, not God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I show you mercy. So you listen to me, not say, oh, I need mercy. I show you mercy. Amen. Praise God. So, I remember that they brought the Ayatamuku fridge to the house. And the only thing we had in the house to put inside the fridge was not juice, was pure water. So we launched, I just opened the fridge, not the freezer. I just put the pure water inside. Under 5 minutes, it was very cold. Like, Squeeze the pure water. But on the door of the fridge, they wrote 3 year what? Warranty. But the thing is working well. Why did they give me warranty? Very simple. The thing, when they brought it to me, it did not have blame. But it can develop fault. And forget that. It didn't have what? Blame. I didn't call that. It's not on, no. When I only the blue light was shaking, everything was working complete. But they gave me what? 3 year what? Warranty. It was blameless, but it was not faultless. So when you say, so in scriptures, you see two types of holiness. You will see blameless. You will see faultless. Like those that stood before the throne, they were faultless. But I may be somebody that I don't have blame, but I can develop what? Fault. So that was who Daddy Adam was. He was holy, but he could develop what? Fault. So at the beginning of his journey, mankind did not need redemption because we were created without what? Blame. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And we're just looking at salvation what? Ahead of us. Can we say amen?
Amen.
How many of us have been blessed today? Now let me just shift to another thought, but it's still the same thoughts. So can we say salvation? So right now, I want to talk about salvation in respect with, in terms of redemption. Now, can we say Satan? Can we say Satan? Don't worry, cannot come yet. Daddy is here. So feel free to shout it. Daddy is here. I think Daddy is not here now. But shout it, Satan. Daddy is here. Amen. No one dies at all, you can do anyhow. So let's do anyhow. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
When he comes, Daddy will break the jugular. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Sorry for making us laugh. Amen. So who is Satan? Like we all know, Satan is a fallen cherub. Abby? Satan is what? A fallen cherub. Now, one thing about a cherub that everybody should know is that every cherub carries all heavens. Like you know, we know from scripture, God asks Moses to build the physical tabernacle according to the pattern of heaven. And Moses didn't just build the tabernacle and the utensils, but even the officiating ministers, they are after the pattern of heaven. So you see that in the tabernacle on earth, Aaron, he functions in the most holy, Abby. You can see him in the holy place, and you can see him what? In the courts. Like the priests, they can function in the holy place and in the courts, but the Levite is limited to what? To the courts. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Like the man that followed them, the angel that followed them in the wilderness, was a cherubim. That's why by night, by day, it's a pillar of cloud. By night is what? A pillar of fire. It was a seraph. By morning, it's a pillar of fire. It will be shining under the sun, he will say. Psh. And by night, it will be what? A pillar of fire. But it was a cherub. It can be a cloud by day. And what? A fire by what? By night. So that's who a cherubim is. Then the cherubim that appeared to Apostle John. Can we clap for Mommy Ronke? She just walked in. Can we clap for her? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit says I should greet you, so allow me, ma. Amen. Praise God. I know you don't like disobedience, so I greet you. Amen. So can we set the cherub? Like the cherub that appeared to Apostle John in Book of Revelation, his 2 feet were like unto polished brass. So I can say that's brazen lava and brazen altar. So I'm not trying to show that when you see a cherubim, he carries what? Can we say all heavens? Can we say all heavens? Can we say all heavens? So that's who a cherub is. A cherub carries all heavens. So that's, and when Satan fell with all his heavens. So when we say Saul is a fallen angel, we're not saying he's a weak angel. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that what? That mistake. A fallen angel is not a weak angel. He is as strong as he was, but in the negative direction. Like, if you want to use military terms, when you see a soldier has fallen, there are two understandings. Is that he's dead physically or he has gone rogue? I remember I've watched this movie, Angel Has Fallen, Gerard Butler. They use that code word, Angel Has Fallen. Why? He's meant to protect the president, but they framed him up. They wanted to kill the president. So they say, Angel has what? Has fallen. So a fallen angel is an angel that he can still shoot his gun, he can still make his bomb, But right now, he's making his bomb against those that trained him. So that's who Satan is. He's still perfect in beauty, full of wisdom. But that wisdom, instead of serving God, is doing great disservice to God. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So when Satan fell, he corrupted his heavens. He didn't lose it. He corrupted it. Now, from teachings from our parental pastors, we know that the tabernacle is divided into three. Abi, court, holy place, and what? Most holy place, which we can call righteousness, peace, and what? Joy. The court is what? Righteousness. Abi? The holy place is what? Is peace. Then the most holy place is what? Is joy. How do I know? In his presence is what? How many of us get that? And where is his presence? The most holy. So Satan, when he fell, he still has righteousness. He still has peace. He still has joy. But they are corrupted. No, Bible says of cherubims, he said they excel in strength. Abi? And I said the joy of the Lord is what? Is your strength. So Satan is a joy angel. But he still has peace. And he has what? Righteousness. But when he fell, his righteousness became sin. Can we say amen?
Amen.
His peace became ungodliness. If it's possible, I'd like you to write it down. His righteousness became sin. His peace became what? Ungodliness. Or you can call it uncleanness. Or you can call it trespasses. Then his joy became iniquity. How many of us get that? So instead of having righteousness, peace, and joy, we have sin, uncleanness, and what? Iniquity. We can see that very well in Romans chapter 6. It said, being made free from sin, you became servants of what? Righteousness. They listed the other category of sins, okay, uncleanness. So from sin, a man moves to uncleanness. Then from uncleanness, the man moves to what? Iniquity unto what? Iniquity. So let me say it this way. There's a sin that is sin. There's a sin that is uncleanness. And there's sin that is what? Iniquity. There's an iniquity that is sin. There's an iniquity that is what? Uncleanness. And there's an iniquity that is what? Iniquity. So when you say, I remember many years ago, maybe 2016, a sister that I talked to, yesterday I was still with her fiancé, she just sent me a question. She said, Pastor, what is the difference between sin, iniquity, transgression? She just listed like about five of them. She said, Pastor, what is the difference? She sent me one verse in the book of Psalm, where David, in that verse, he mentioned all of them together. So that day, number one, I was not in a spiritual estate, I was watching film. And I don't think I've read my Bible that day. So when I saw the question, I just felt like telling her, it's the same thing. But as I was typing, I just felt something in my spirit say, tell her you don't know it. So I told her, I don't know it. Then it was maybe two primes after that, that the Ukraine came and separated all of them. I thank God that I was honest that day. Because I'm not honest every day. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So all those are the priestly benefits we enjoy under the yoke. Priestly benefits to separate sin from sin. To separate righteousness from righteousness. So transgression, iniquity, make restitution of sin, iniquity. To every Christian out there, they are all the same thing. But they are not the same. They are different portions in Satan. Like every one of us, none of us here has committed iniquity. But you can commit iniquity. But none of us here have committed what? Iniquity. But you can. Papillo is in you. I say, but you haven't. Can we say amen?
Amen.
How I know you haven't is that if you had committed it, you would not be here. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So let's quickly read that place in Romans chapter 6. Let's just see the order. Romans chapter 6 from verse 16. Let's start from verse 16. It says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself to obey, his servants are ye whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto what? Righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of what? Sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of what? Doctrine, which was what? Delivered unto you. Being then made free from what? Sin, ye became what? Servants of righteousness. Now say, I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh." He said, "For as ye have yielded yourself, your members, servants to what? Uncleanness." So this week, they've not just served sin. They've also served what? Uncleanness. Servants to uncleanness and to what? Iniquity. What? Unto iniquity. Even so now, yield your what? Members, servants unto what? Righteousness. Unto what?
Holiness.
So holiness is the positive of uncleanness. Yield yourself as servants unto what? Of righteousness unto what? Holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from what? Righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is dead. He said, "But now, being made free from sin and have become servants to God, ye have your fruit what? Unto holiness, and the end what? Everlasting life." So look at this: sin, uncleanness, iniquity. Righteousness, holiness, what? Everlasting life. How many of us are clear? Don't worry, I'm free to scatter this place. Pastor Nini will arrange it tomorrow morning. Amen. So let me scatter. Next time you see me is next year. Amen. So let's take a dagbororu. Pastor Nini will arrange. Amen. Praise God. If you WhatsApp me that you're from this church, I will block you. Praise God. But all of us are clear. So there are levels: sin, uncleanness, iniquity. Righteousness, holiness, what? Everlasting life. So Satan was a being that had these three things in him: righteousness, peace, and what? And joy. When he fell, he corrupted them. Or he fell because he corrupted them. So his righteousness became sin. His peace became what? Uncleanness. And his joy became what? Iniquity. Now, those are the weapons fashioned against men. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Tunia force, the mala vrokoto force. Jimana vrokoto sivela vrokoto savani to force. is a false being. Is a false being. He forced that which was true in him. He forced that which was true in him. He's a false being. He's a false being. And he knows how to sell perversion. He knows how to sell lie. He knows how to sell lie. He knows how even to lie to man, because he knows even that which was true before. He knows it before. And so he's a seller of lie. 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 We are going to expose him. We will expose him. We will expose him. We will expose even his secret work in men. We will expose even his secret work in men. He is a liar. He is a liar. He is a liar. And the truth is not in him. The truth is not in him. He has perverted even that which was truth in him to sell a wrong sanctuary to man. To sell a wrong evil sanctuary to man. He is a liar. He hides in wisdom high above. He hides in wisdom high even above. He's a perverted being. He's a perverted being. And he wants many to follow his perversion. He wants many to follow even his perverted way. He's a high wisdom perverted. High wisdom perverted. High wisdom even perverted. High wisdom perverted. And he has weaved his life even in the thought of men to steal men even by thought. To steal men even by thought. Even by thought of sin. Even by thought of uncleanness. Even by thought of iniquity. Yeah, even by men to trust in their own way and not to trust in the living God. Even in the living God. Even in the living God. Jesus hated iniquity. And so I'm coming to give you an hatred for iniquity. To give you an hatred for sin. To give you an hatred even for uncleanness. Even from uncleanness. Yeah, these are whipped in the thought. Even the man used to live. I'm giving you another thought today. I'm giving you even another thought today. Another thought to detonate his thought even from your life. He's a perverted being and he's hiding in silos. I will expose him, see the Lord. I will expose him, see the Lord. I will expose him in your life. I will expose him in your life. We are ready to judge him. We are ready to expunge him out. We are ready to punch, even to punch his way out. Even to punch his way out. Even you, even out of you. Salvation is the only way to see him. He's the only way to see Satan. He is a perverted truth. He's a perverted truth. He knows truth. He knows truth. And he knows how to pervert even truth in men. But salvation is the light that will escape and escape you even from his perverted way. He will be exposed. Amen. He will be exposed. Amen. He will be exposed. And his way will be sponged out in you.
Amen. Can we say a good amen? Amen? Thank you, Father. So, let me just continue. So, can we say sin? Can we say uncleanness? So, say uncleanness, ungodliness, or trespasses. Then, we say iniquity. Can we say amen? Amen? So, like we all know, righteousness and peace is what makes us Christ. But I say they ate spiritual meat, drank spiritual drink, were followed by a spiritual rock, and that rock was what? Was Christ. Can we say amen? Then I said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. How many of us get that? So Christ is spiritual. Christ is spiritual, and spiritual is life and peace. Then I said, if Christ be in you, he said, your spirit is life because of righteousness. So righteousness and peace are the seasons of Christ. Then joy is the season of God. Can we say amen? Amen. Now this is what I want to say, very simple. So from Daniel Gates' teaching, remember the first time, those days, when we read the book of Revelation, when we see the word in book of Revelation, we see the word small death and great death. You know, because we like money, what we just imagine is rich and poor. Abi? But Adina came and showed us that small debt and great debt are qualities of life. So small debt is the perverted Christ in Satan. Then great death is what? Is the perverted joy, what? In Satan. So if we have small deaths and great deaths, means that we have small life and what? Great life. Now this is what I want to say, very simple. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And you at he quickened, who were what? Dead in trespasses and what? And sins. So we were dead in what? Trespasses and what? And sins. The kind of death that came into our spirit man as a result of that, the Adam's disobedience, was small death. So we're not dead in sins, trespasses, and iniquity. We're just dead in what? Sins and what? Trespasses. Which is negative Christ. So the solution to this negativity is that they quickened us with what? With Christ. How many of us get that? They what? Quickened us with what? With Christ. How many of us see that? So I can read this scripture this way. And you at it quickened, who were dead in uncleanness and sin. I can read this scripture this way. And you at it quickened, who were dead in ungodliness and what? And sin. And I can also say like this. And you at it quickened, who were dead in what? In trespasses and what? And sin. So basically, trespasses and sins, yeah. It's not talking about quantities. It's talking about what? Quality. None of us get that. It's talking about what? Quality. Not that, you did plenty bad things, oh, you were dead in plenty of and sins. It was just telling us about the quality of death our spirit man had. We were dead in trespasses and what? And sins. So they quickened us with what? With Christ. Can I say they quickened us? With what? With Christ. Can I say I was quickened? Can we say I was quickened? Please, I'll soon be done in like 30 minutes. So let's not draw back. Can we say amen?
Yeah.
Can we say I was quickened? With what? With Christ. So this is what I want to say. Can we say small salvation? Can we say great salvation? So what occurred in our spirit man is small salvation. What should occur in our soul is so great, what? Salvation. None of us get that. What occurred in our what? In our spirit man is what? Small salvation. What should occur in our soul is what? So great salvation. Now, obviously, our souls have not committed iniquity, which is great sin. Can we say amen?
Amen?
But we have the tendency. We have the ability. So you don't need to commit it before you are saved from it. In short, anybody that commits iniquity cannot be saved again. So what they are saving us is from the potential to commit iniquity. So when you have been free from the potential to commit great sin, then it means you have experienced so great what? Salvation. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So can we say small salvation? Can we say great salvation? So when you read epistles, I'm ending right now. When you read epistles, when you see the apostles talk about salvation, you can almost be confused. In a particular place, Ephesians chapter 2 that we are reading, the apostle will tell you, he says, by grace are ye saved, through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should what? But that same apostle will now come to another place and tell you, work out your salvation with what? They just feel like singing to the apostle. Make up your mind. Because apostle, you just told me that not of works. Then apostle, you just told me that work out your salvation with what? Then it is clear that he's talking about two different type of what? Salvation. So very simple. The small salvation in your spirit man as a believer, you don't need to obey to come into it. You just what? You just believe. But for great salvation to occur in your soul, my brethren, you have to what? Obey God. So he has to say, walk out your words, salvation, with what? Fear and trembling. He said, he's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that what? Obey him, not unto all them that believe in him. So one of the difference between small salvation and great salvation is that small salvation is not of works. Great salvation is what? Of works. And of course, get that. And when we say walk, you cannot walk for your salvation. The obedience that we are doing is to align ourselves to receive salvation. And of course, get that. It's not what you will do. When you look at what you obey God for and the salvation, you know that it's not what I did that warrants this salvation. Sure, you get. So in EGFM, in NWC, we don't teach people to work for their salvation. We teach people to align with God to receive their salvation. How many of us get that? So small salvation, not of works. Great salvation, of works. Small salvation is not eternal. Great salvation is what? It's eternal. Like a young man in the Corinthian church who had small salvation. With that small salvation, he was sleeping with his stepmom. He said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. In short, your fornication is reported commonly. Just lover, they carry him. Bella Ninja, they carry him. Linda Ikeji, they carry him. Not just any kind of fornication, but the one that even unbelievers, they know they do him. That one should have his father's wife. Then Paul said, call for a special prayer meeting. Now, in prayer meetings, we send Satan far. But this prayer meeting is to call Satan. Limarua kwa safari ya komba kama. Shebulueti komi ya kunye kuti kom. Come in and come. Hey. You know, if that prayer meeting, I will not attend. Because Satan can make mistake and touch you. You're not the one. Can we say amen? And why did they call that prayer meeting? That his spirit might be saved. Mean that what that guy was doing with his body was already endangering the small salvation he has in his spirit. And let's get that. So small salvation is not eternal. Great salvation is what? Is eternal. Small salvation is what? It's when you say new creation realities. Is the celebration of the salvation that is not of works. And let's get that. Is what? Let's quickly read 1 Peter chapter 1. Daddy, hope I'm trying, sir. Pastor Nii, our Bible study is superintended in this church. Hope I'm trying, sir. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and what? Bithynia. He elect according to what? The foreknowledge of what? Of God, the Father. Through what? Sanctification of what? The Spirit. Unto what? Obedience. And what? Sprinkling of the blood. So this sanctification here is what they've experienced in Christ. It is untowards obedience. And the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Towards an inheritance. What is inheritance? Salvation. So obedience is untowards inheritance. Can we say amen? Amen? Can we say amen? Amen? Now let me just say this before we continue. Even that one that is not of works, it has works. But you are not the one that did the work. Because faith without works is what? Is dead. Now, literally, if they want you to obey God for your small salvation, nobody will get born again. Because what is the work? Imagine I'm an evangelist Ogudino, and I come to Ikorodu, World Salvation Global Crusade. with evangelism. Good, you know, I wear my white suit. I said I want to fly on the poster. Then, and I preach, finish. And I say, how many of you want to get born again in this place? And out of maybe 1,000 people, 7 people come out. Do you know what after I give the altar call? My carpenters will just come out to the stage. And they will build 7 cross. They'll be what? 7 cross. Then the 7 that they want to get born again, they will hang them on the cross. And nail them. Why? Sin came from a tree. And causes everyone that what? That hangeth on a tree. So if you want to get born again, you should hang on a tree. You should what? You need to thank God for Jesus, man. You should what? Hang on a tree. The way you hang from that tree, you will descend to hell. And you will spend 3 days. One for your soul, one for your spirit, one for your soul, and what? One for your body. Then you will now resurrect. That's the work to get born again. All of us get that. So when you say, not of works. It has works. But someone did the works. It's called finished works. So when you say, not of works, please, works is there. But he said, believe in him that did the work and the work. Thou shalt be saved. So, sometimes when you read epistle, you see the apostles, they use salvation in past tense. And they use salvation in future tense. He will tell you that if thou shalt believe with your heart the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved! Past tense. But Thessalonians, put on for an helmet the hope of salvation. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but them that believe what? Unto. Then 2 Timothy will now tell you, who has saved us and called us with the holy calling? Abba. Then God who will have all men to be saved. Apostle, suffering they do them now. They will not come back again. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. Calm down. And us saved unto. Which one? Make up your mind, sir. I don't like confusion. The apostle is not confused. He knows what he's saying. So I've been saved. I am being saved. And I shall be saved. That's New Testament. So should I tell you, when new creation elections guys are doing, please join them. Because what they are dancing for, you have it. You have it. But you know that there is more. Because salvation is to the uttermost. It's what? The uttermost. And what is the uttermost? To be incorruptible. To be undefiled. And not to be a being that cannot what? Fade away. How many of us have seen Christians backslide? How many of us have backslide before? It's a clear sign that we didn't have eternal salvation. What we had was what? Small salvation. Can we say amen? How many of us are saying this? So you see the apostles, they can use salvation in past tense. And they can come back and use salvation in what? In future sense. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is what? Able to save your soul. How many of us get that? So can we say small salvation? Which is Christ, Abby? Then we have so great salvation, which is what? The Son of God. If we were dead in iniquity in our spirit, they would have quickened us with the Son of God. So can we scream Christ? Now, what is Christ? Christ is the solution to death. Christ is the solution to a death that can be cured. There are two deaths. There's a death that can be cured. Why did God not die for angels? They died a death that cannot be cured. But Adam died a death that can be what? That can be cured. The solution to that death is what? Is Christ. That's why we're quickened with what? With Christ. Now, let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. Can we say amen? Can we say amen? Amen. Let's reach God. 1, 2, go. For as in Adam, what? All die. Even so in Christ, all shall be what? Made alive. So, when you see death, what is the paracetamol to solve that death? Christ. So, Christ is God's solution to the death we died in Adam. Now, this is an example I used to give. Imagine I'm a member of Marvel Cinematic Universe, where we have Thanos, where we have Captain America, we have Black Panther, we have different things. Then me, I'm part of them. My own name is Rexorecto. And me, my own power is that if I touch you, you will not die again. If I touch you, if Thanos do like this, no go disappear. You go do, oh, there is she. Who you be? You be your father. That's my own power. May I just touch you? May I stand by your side? May Thanos do like this. He said, stop, stop that. And who they follow you, they play. That's my own power. I am Rexorecto. But they now brought somebody that is already dead to me. What will I do? If I touch him, my power, he will be dead forever. So what did I do? I will wake him up. Then when he's alive, I will now what? Touch him. I don't foresee that. So I wake ye that sleepeth. And I rise from the dead. And what? Christ. So Christ is the solution to a death that can be cured. Then when he is alive, give him everlasting life. They don't give everlasting life when you are dead. Or else you'll be dead everlastingly. If God wanted us to be dead everlastingly, therefore don't do us in Genesis. Don't be for New Testament. Therefore don't allow Adam may eat the tree after he chop the fallen tree. Then you'll be dead everlastingly. So God, so the new birth, they cannot give you everlasting life. Because my majesty, everlasting death. So they'll first give you life. Then they'll now give you life what? Abundantly. None of us get that. And should I tell you, it's dangerous to give everlasting life to a spirit that his soul still has sin. He will cheat God. He will what? He will cheat God. How many of us have slay Holy Spirit before? If you have slay Holy Spirit before, raise up your hands. Holy Spirit talk, just if you know here. Holy Spirit talk, they use tongues block out. Kaburaka, Sangalaba, Shangalaba. Now, Holy Spirit, you follow shout. So you see, you cannot give everlasting life to a spirit that is so sick, carries sin. He will not repent. Because on this show, he cannot go to lake. He will not repent. He shall use that everlasting strength to serve sin very well. So give him life. It's enough. Then as his soul is upgrading, upgrade him too. Don't upgrade him fully without his soul changing. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So can we say small life? Can we say great life? How many of us are being blessed today? So let me add this. So the portion of the soul, can I say the portion of the soul is great life. But should I tell you, for great life to even come into the soul, if the soul has to first of all experience small life. The soul has to first of all experience what? Small life, which is Christ. You know, we said earlier on that glory is salvation, Abi.
Yes,
they said Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. Christ in you, what? The hope of what? Of glory. Or Christ in you, and that you is your soul, oh, my little children, on in whom I was, travail in birth again, until what? Christ is formed in you for glory. You know, our parents used to sing one song one time. We call them religious. But thank God for Reverend Kyle, they were okay. Without those songs, are not religious, they are spiritual. I want to live eternal life. Lord, save my soul. So it's clear that eternal life is for a saved soul. Then saved soul is for a Christ man. So it is a new creation that God saves. A new creation in your soul. But for the small salvation in your soul, you have to what? You have to obey God for it.
Yes.
That one is of works, and you will not boast. Because those works, you did it by grace. You did it by what? Mercy. You obey faith. You obey hope. You obey charity. Then Christ is what? Is formed in you. Then it is a Christ man that you introduce into the seasons of what? Can we say salvation? Can we say salvation? So who God saves is what? A Christ man. It's a Christ man that God makes everlasting. Can we say amen?
Amen.
He said he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So we were dead. They woke us up to now make us somebody that can what? That cannot die again. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Let's quickly read John chapter 11. Let's see that technology. When Jesus was talking to Martha or Mary. Amen. Praise God. So like I said, I'm following the prayers of Brother Emmanuel. He was praying that today God will help us to see redemption and what? Salvation. So all these things I'm saying right now, small death, small life, small great death, small this thing, they are these talks of what? Of redemption. So in our soul, they will redeem us from what? Small debts and what? Great debts. Like, if you're a Nigerian, tell you, if you're a Nigerian, you are in the realm of small debts. You're in the realm. God met us in the stage of what? Of small debts. And many of us were not even in the fullness of small debts. You are still in the realm of sin. You are not in ungodliness. If you are ungodly, you will not like church. If you are ungodly, you will be saying, is everything prayer? If you are ungodly and you pass in front of this church and you see us here on a Saturday, you will be like, ah, productive times. Productive time of the day. What church do you attend again? You hold meetings on Thursdays? Thursdays? Huh? The reason why I'm a Christian, please. I'm a Christian. That's an ungodly Christian. So the fact that you're a Christian doesn't mean I cannot be ungodly. Please, I'm a Christian. If anybody says Jesus is not the way, I will fight him. But when I went to Canada and came back, I discovered that in Africa, we took religion too far. That's an ungodly man. I'm a Christian. Don't doubt me, I'm a Christian. You can see my cross on my neck. I believe in Jesus. I take the sacrament. See, you don't know. See, as you are seeing me, I'm a Bible school graduate. But when I went to Dubai and I saw what they've done for themselves there, I said to myself that in Africa, religion has cheated us. Africa, wake up! That wake up is death. That's an ungodly man. So right there, you can be born again, but you are still making progress in sin. It's Bible now. That whosoever what? Believeth in him what? Should not perish. He didn't say would not perish. So you can be born again and you still perish. So you can be born again and when you got born again in your soul, you are still in the realm of sin. But in church, you got to uncleanness. Try to tell you, some churches in this nation are graduating men into what? Uncleanness. They don't feel after God. They don't believe in leading of the Spirit. If you see a thing, go for it. What did I say? Go for it. What are you praying about? God gave you brain to what? to think so you will not disturb him. But it's clear that person doesn't know anything. Even in that science, he does not know it. Because in that science, he told us that your brain is what? Central what? Nervous system. So there are many ungodly statements in churches. I remember one time I saw a church infographic, their annual convention. So that church, their convention, they don't invite pastors. They invite captains of industries. They maybe one pastor. So I saw the infographic. Imagine maybe you just see an infographic from the Kurodu Church. When you love God, you will seek him. Pastor Lee to Nike. To follow God is to obey God. Pastor Happy Oseni. So I saw an infographic from that convention. What did the infographic say? Christians love wasting time praying and fasting. Why? What they need is qualitative thinking. Number one, that's an ungodly man. Number two, Satan never do you strong thing. Satan do you strong thing when they think. Satan never do you waka. Or I will show you. Satan do you, I will show you. They are going to think. But that's an ungodly man. He does not want, he wants to glory in the works of his hands. He does not want to refer to God in his thanksgiving. That's an ungodly man. Can we say amen?
Amen.
But I say we should open John 11. I just want to show us something. Then we'll close. Amen. From verse 23, John 11, 23. And Jesus said unto her, that's Martha, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am what? And what? The life. Now look at this. This man never died, but he said it's what? Resurrection. So you don't need to die before you experience resurrection. While you are alive, you should be experiencing what? Resurrection. I know simple word for resurrection is growing up spiritually. When you are growing up spiritually, you are what? You are resurrecting. When you are repenting unto salvation, you are what? Resurrecting. So Jesus has not died, but it's resurrection. God was resurrecting him. So Apostle Paul did not need to die before he resurrects. He was dying daily in his soul. And because of that, he was resurrected. Now let's continue. And Jesus said unto him, I am the resurrection and life. Now look at this. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet what? Shall he what? Live. Now look at verse 26. And whosoever what? Liveth. And what? Believeth in me, shall what? Never die. So you see two resurrections. One resurrection, he that what? Died shall live. Then he that live shall not what? Shall not die. That's what you could call resurrection from the dead and resurrection for what? Of the dead. So Christ is what makes a man that is dead come alive. Son of God is what makes a man that is alive not to die. Then when you become a man that dieth no more, they'll give you what? Eternal life. That's the gospel. That's what? The gospel. And that's what God is giving to us. So our spirit was dead in what? Sins and what? Trespasses. We believed and in what? He lived. But our soul is still dead because we are still carrying the old man. Then they will teach us Christ. We will obey Christ. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Then when we live in our soul, then they now begin to teach us the Son of God. So that we will be a man that is alive. And what? Die yet what? No more. He said, I am he who was dead. I'm alive. And I what? I die yet what? No more. Those are processes in the gospel that we believers ought to come into. So can we say small deaths? Can we say great deaths? Every one of us, I will not lie to you, we have great debt in seed form in our soul and in our body. So, Jesus Christ our Lord died and paid the penalty for first debts. There are two things in the death of Jesus. He died and paid the penalty of first debts. Then he also died, but he didn't pay penalty for second debts. He died so he can give us the keys that will make us not to die that death. That's why anyone that dies second death is on his own. Because Jesus did not pay the penalty for that one. And first get that. He didn't pay what? The penalty. Why? It is appointed to every man who was to die once. That once is not physical death. If not, they will not be raising dead people in crusade ground. That physical, that die once is the death in Adam. If you die more than that, you're on your own. So Jesus, our Lord, paid the penalty for what Adam did, which is first death. But in his death also, he obtained keys of hell and death. So that we will not die what? Great death. How many of us believe the gospel? So shall I tell you, that's what we are doing with our life. Salvation. 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 Let me say this lastly. Salvation is many things, but recently there's one thing that has been sticking out about salvation in my heart. Who is a saved soul? A soul that can never be free from God. A soul that can never what? My brethren, may I tell you the truth? Waiting every one of us they find for this life, not be money. Waiting every one of us they find for this life, not be popularity. Wetin we dey find for this life wey we no fit describe na pay we wan dey free from Baba God. We wan dey wetin? We wan dey what? Free from Baba God. Let me give you a simple example to give myself and people. None of us, imagine maybe you get married here at maybe age 30 as a guy. Then maybe by 35, 36, you finish giving birth. Then when the third born at 36 is entering university, you and your wife necessary to have a late love child. You're already like 50 something that time. Okay, let's say 36 plus 16, that's 52. Your last boy is entering university at 16. You're already 52. Then as that was going, you and your wife just say, babe, we will do one and we will go there with us for hours. And your wife said, no, Lele, my husband, we will enter. We will do one. Bah! And you give birth. Now, by the time that one is getting married at maybe 26 years old, you're already 80 years old. None of us here at age 80 still want to be trusting God. When that child comes and says, daddy, I found the guy I want to marry. None of us want to say, let's all dance and pray. We want to swipe the card. Every one of us are looking for a time where we will not need to pray for things. Am I lying? Not everyone was looking for that time. None of us want to be 80 years old and your child wants to do wedding and you have to seek the face of God for the money. I've done that in my 30s. Okwoju, I've done that in my 40s. Why my 80s? I should just keep my wojo alone. What was I was like, maybe the girl's name is Vanessa. Vanessa. Vanessa, you came during a time where cash, me and your mom were low on cash. But our daughter, we cannot deny you. Don't worry. Your wedding will hold. We'll sell the land at Aja. Nobody wants to say, Vanessa, let's pray. Oh, you want the money, lie alone. Nobody wants to be 80 and be saying money. You don't want to leave God alone, no. But that's utter dependency on God. Nobody wants to be like that at age 80. Nobody wants to die leaning on the staff like Jacob. Nobody. So, can I tell you, everything in us is gravitating into being free from God, liberty. Can I tell you, that teaching of financial independence is not independence from your parents. It's independence from God. That's why people don't like leading of the spirit. I'd like you like me more, Mary. Always I'm checking my spirits. I met one time at work. No, me, there are some days when I'm going out. I'll just take my transport money. I don't buy food since I got married. It's once in a blue moon I buy food at work. Even though the days I don't drive, I'll eat at home. And I'll drink 2 pure water to stay in my stomach till I reach home. So I don't even buy pure water sometimes. Or I'll just carry bottle. My stomach will stay. Amen?
Yeah.
So, all those marketers, you cannot convince me. Sir, can you buy this thing? Your wife will like it. Me. You know, when I came, I went out. I didn't plan to buy anything today. Well, you go talk about what we're paying you. No marketer can convince me in this Lagos. Sir, it's good for your health. When you drink it, your white blood cells will jog more. When I went, came up there, I came up with 2K. And that 2K, I know how it is. Maybe 1.5 for transport, then 5 for I buy granules, and I'll be chewing as I'm inside the bus. No more, no less. But one day, a guy came to my office. I can't remember what he brought, but when he brought that thing, I liked it. And I felt we should have it. And the price he called for it, I could afford it. But here am I. If I want to buy it, I first have to check my spirits. When I check my spirit finish, I will not check my wife's spirit. I have to check my wife's spirits. Then when I check my wife's spirits, you can say, let's go and check Pastor Tokpe's spirit. Ah! So when I look at the opening of checking, I say, I'm not buying again. But one of my colleagues, he liked it. He just bought 2. And someone just came to me, don't you like his freedom? Don't you like his freedom? He didn't check any spirits. He saw it, he liked it, and what? He bought it. How many of us get that? So what is salvation? Salvation is coming into an estate where you can never be made free from God. Like the 4 living creatures, you are glued to the throne. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That's salvation. So the advanced world, why are they advanced? They are more advanced than us because they are more free from God than we are. How many of us get that? So who is a full Christ man? Who is a full Christ man? A full Christ man is a man that desires to be under God. A saved man is a man that is what? Under God. Shall I tell us, inside every one of us is prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. It's inside every one of us. So what is salvation? God removing our ability to wander away from him. God removing our ability to be out of the way. God removing our ability to perish. So, should I tell you, a time we come on earth, what men will be celebrating is freedom from God. In those days, if you are rich, but you are dependent on God, men will not respect you. In those days, if Satan tells the man, the only way you can be free from God is for you to be poor, the man will take it. So you see a man, he will choose to be poor. Because what? He wants to be what? To be free from God. Satan will paint that message. And should I tell you, before that message lands on earth fully, it's better you are saved. No risk, Amo. No waiting. Even if you have fullness of Christ, no risk, Am. Because it will be an alluring message on earth. That's what Satan preaches in heaven now. Why they promise them liberty? They themselves, their words, they are servants of God. So Satan promised men liberty. Scream at us. How long have you been flapping your wings? Lord Lucy, I've been flapping my wings for the last 1,000 years. Has Elohim passed since then? No. I'm still waiting for him to pass. Are your wings spinning you? Kind of. They say, Krimaskri, let me massage your wings for you. Then, as he's massaging the wings, I was saying, oh, Lord Lucifer, your hands are so tender. Then he was like, don't talk about my hands. I pray a day comes where we'll use our wings at our own discretion. That's a seed. That's a seed. You use your wings at your own discretion. And should I tell you, I know the way. Shh, just fly away. For then, that one will be wondering, hey, he knows the way. They will be looking for Lucifer up and down. Lucifer will be hiding to fan the hunger. Lucifer will be hiding. Lucifer will be hiding for you. They won't just appear. Oh, Lucifer, where have you been? You said you know a way. Did I say that? No, I don't think so. You said it! So I will use my wings at my own discretion. The seed is growing. Then I say, try to tell you something beautiful about your wings. Your wings are longer than that of Gabriel. Stretch them and see. It's longer. Gabriel is my brother, I told you. Check it. The next time Gabriel comes, measure his wings. But in all this, he'll tell the guy, stay humble. He'll tell the guy what? Stay humble. He's a deceiver. So he promised angels what? Liberty. But by that liberty, they are serving what? Corruption. Try to say, God is raising a generation that will reject freedom. Yeah. Will reject what? Freedom. Because that's the promise of Satan. That's what? The promise of Satan. But I pray that under our dead, that light day, none of us in this church will receive that promise. Amen. But we will receive the promise of being eternally hooked to God. Amen. In Jesus' name. How many of us have been blessed today? Can we begin to thank the name of the Lord for blessing us?
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.